Jason Rosidlow reporting for AmericaJR.com, and I'm joined by Mr. Bob Saget. Hi, how are you today?
Excellent. Thank you for putting the surname on me. I never get called Mr. except by auditors.
Oh, okay. That's cool. I understand you wanted to be a doctor, but then you changed your mind for a career in film. Can you explain why?
Wow. You know more than most people. Yes, I actually went to Temple University in Philly for 6 months. I was pre-med and then realized I was going to fail. Biology and all of the sciences and math were not my strongest suit. So I took off my suit and I went to film school and started taking all the film courses there, and then it did pretty well. I was very lucky. I went to took documentary classes and actually won the Student Academy Award when I was 21 years old and flew to LA and then started doing stand-up more full-time, which I've been doing since I was about 17.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And what was it like playing Danny Tanner on Full House from 1987 to 95?
It was interesting. I just had had my first child with my wife, which was convenient. I had a show in New York called The Morning Program. In 1986, I got the job, and then I was fired after 5 months. And conveniently, they had wanted me, I was told, for the pilot of Full House. And after I got fired from this show, which was also a good career starter for me, I got the Full House job, and I was really excited, you know. And it was a sitcom done by Miller and Boyette and Jeff Franklin, who had done Bosom Buddies, and Miller Boyette did Mork and Mindy and Laverne and Shirley. So I was in a primetime sitcom and had just been fired and had a new baby, and I got to work with my friend Dave Coulier, who of course is from Detroit, and I met him at a place called the Delta Lady when he was 17 and I was like 22. And then John Stamos and I became, you know, we're all like brothers. In fact, this Saturday there's an event here in Long Beach for John Stamos's charity called Project Cuddle, which helps people get infants that are in need and adopt them. And Dave Coulier and John and I are going to like play with some Beach Boy band members. So it'll be a flashback to our old Full House days. And it was a very fun experience, and it was kind of weird because I was always an irreverent comedian, and here I was playing this clean-cut, dust-busting, you know, straight man, even though I didn't look that straight because I was wearing cardigan sweaters and living in San Francisco with two men.
Okay, how are you able to be on Full House and America's Funniest Home Video simultaneously?
It's one of those jokes where people make you their the butt of their jokes, which is, you know, luckiest person in show business. When I was on this show before Full House, I showed my wedding videos on this morning program and then showed it on Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And the producers of America's Funniest Home Videos and some ABC executives saw that tape and thought that I'd be great to narrate people's home videos. And it was just a special. They sent me a 20-minute reel of the original pilot of America's Funniest Home Videos, and I thought it was some of the funniest reel footage. You know, it was like the beginning of YouTube. It was vignettes that people sent in, and I thought it was hilarious, and it was a blooper show, and I had been on Full House for a year, and they thought, okay, we'll do this cross-pollination of an ABC star on another show, which became something that networks do a lot of times. They've done it with Drew Carey. They've done it with, you know, a bunch of people that have both sitcom and then go into game or reality or whatever.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it took off. It beat a rerun of 60 Minutes, and then they picked it up, and it lasted for, you know, almost 8 years. It was crazy, and I was a very, very, very lucky person that both things happened.
Very cool. How is narrating How I Met Your Mother on CBS right now?
It's really a great show, and now that the writer's strike is over, thank goodness all the writers are going back that are able to, and How I Met Your Mother is going to make some more, and it's just the people on that show are so talented. The lead guy, Josh Radnor, is, you know, I get to be his voice projected into the future, which is, for me, I just think it's just a really great show. It's kind of a love letter to romantic, situations. And I'm also known a lot of the cast for a really long time. Allison Hannigan was actually a babysitter of mine when she was 15 years old.
Oh, wow.
And I put her in an HBO special that I did when she was, show. And the guys that make it are just incredibly talented. It's a very nice thing to be part of, and they're kind of keeping on the down low, although I just talked about it for 6 minutes.
Okay, you're the host of NBC's One Versus 100. What do you enjoy about it the most?
I think the fact that we had a live monkey on it, and he guessed an answer correctly.
Oh, wow.
And then he guessed wrong, and I think soiled the back of the podium, and they removed him. As soon as you guess wrong, you're out, and they didn't really need to keep a live monkey there after he'd been eliminated.
So they whisked him away, huh?
I like the show. I think it's well done for those kind of shows. It's I used to lie on, the reason I did it in the first place is I would, I love being able to do like my stand-up, because I'll be doing, the Michigan Theater on April 19th.
Yes,
and
that's correct.
I get to go crazy in my stand-up like I did on my HBO special of recent, the one that he writes. But I get to kind of be myself on this show, and not in a raunchy way, but I like entertaining families too. I guess bipolar is people might, some people deem it. I really enjoy it. I was watching The Millionaire when that was on with Regis with my daughter, and we would all sit around and be able to watch a show together. And it was done by people that I thought were really nice people, the people at Endemol and the people at that do Deal or No Deal. Scott St. John's a really good guy, and so it's something that I have fun doing. It's it's a big forum, and I like what that show is. It's fun to do.
Okay, how is hosting One Versus 100 different from America's Funniest Home Videos?
Videos was completely scripted, and I would do some ad-libbing once in a while. And for me, I'm just a completely different person. I'm the same guy, obviously, but I've changed a lot. I've had a lot of life changes, and just I guess getting older and being around for a while and understanding what I do and the purpose of what I like to do, which is entertain people. It was America's Funniest Home Videos when I did it, and it's well done now. Tom Bergeron's a really nice guy, and and it's gonna run for a long time. I think it's like Candid Camera. It just you can keep watching that thing.
Yeah.
But when I did it, it was scripted by a guy who's still an exec producer on it, Todd Thick, and another gentleman, Robert Arnott, and we would write. We wrote 55 pages a week, and I would do the voiceovers on it.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was a very heavily scripted show, whereas One Versus 100, there's no script, The questions are written, and I don't know the answers, and I don't know too much else, When I'm doing it, I just kind of go through it and wing it, and there's a lot of stuff that gets removed, because you got to keep the game going.
So
I say a lot of quirky, odd things, and some of it makes the air, which, it has a PG rating, which gets me very excited.
Yeah, that's exciting. What can you tell me about your age?
In parentheses, he laughed self-effacingly here at himself.
Yeah, what can you tell me about your HBO special? That ain't right. That went to DVD in 07.
Yeah, that thing was, many years of stand-up, and it was kind of just something that's kind of a mission statement, I guess, saying, I guess there's a few minutes of it of I'm not that guy from those shows, but I am that guy. But it really is about what I, my silly sense of humor and I guess irreverent. And, I think, it's kind of like my aunt, I love my aunt a lot. She saw the special and went, boy, it's very blue. And, we don't really love that as much as seeing you live. But when she saw me live, it was the same show pretty much. Most of the same material, the same tone, but she was eating prime rib and get free drinks. And I think that's the difference. I think you need to watch that special eating meat and drinking booze. I think that's the best way to see me. So people should have a good piece of meat and drink some booze before they come to see me April 19th.
Oh, okay, yeah. And what was it like working with Jamie Kennedy and his rap song and music video?
Jamie's a really good guy and a friend, and Stu Stone was his partner on this show called Blowing Up, which was an MTV thing. And what happened was one night, Jamie and I had done some stand-up together, and I'd also been on his show, The Jamie Kennedy Experiment. They did a fake bit where they went to my house and pretend they were crashing into it, and I went nuts on the air, and it was all set up, and I had done this, we'd just gone out one night. I'd just done stand-up, and we said, let's get a drink, and it was like 2 in the morning in L.A., and we couldn't find anywhere to go. It was 2 in the morning, the clubs are closed down, and so I knocked on the door of a bar, and they said, oh, yeah, Bob, you can come in. So Jamie and Stu came in with two girls that looked like they had been rejected from the group ABBA, and they locked us in and gave us some drinks, which they're allowed to do. I'm making up that they're allowed to do that, and I guess they are. The door's locked. There's a private party in the back, I guess. But anyway, then Jamie and Stu looked at me and said, you know, there's nothing like rolling with Saget. And I'm like, yeah, right, it's so exciting, and making fun of myself. But then the next day, they started to tell me they were writing a song about it. And so that was a part of their MTV show. And then MTV spent like a ton of dough and ended up having George Lucas drop by the set, coincidentally, and John Stamos was in it. And it was actually a very funny thing to do. I'm kind of proud of it because they did it. I just kind of showed up, you know, spoofing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Can you give us a preview of your show that you're going to be doing at the Michigan Theater?
Well, I guess you could say it'll be similar in some tone to the HBO special. Some of the music will be the same. One's about my dog, which I can't mention even on the web. It's just not suitable. And then I have a couple new songs, which I'm pretty excited about. And they're also, I can't really talk about them either because it's really not suitable. But
okay.
One's about a woman that I'm dating there's a giant gap in our ages.
Oh,
but she's
okay.
About 50 years older than me, which makes her very ancient. And then I got some new material I've been working on for a while now to spice it up. And I thought I was going to try to clean my show up, but apparently what's been coming out of me is just kind of bent. It probably is R-rated, but it's definitely a little bit odd. It's based on what a friend of mine said to me. He actually is a host of a public radio show in Santa Fe, and he said to me, you know, when you think about it, when you say something kind of weird and quirky, and you talk about the crazy things people do out in the world, because people are kind of nutty, you know, anything you mention, somebody's out there doing it, or has done it, and
yeah.
Like, whoa, that's disturbing. That's 12 minutes of material right there. So it kind of springs forth a whole volume of things that people could do with inanimate objects or canned goods, and they just, I guess I'm a little more in the theater of the absurd right now, but I'm finding it humorous. I guess like a 10-year-old who learned a lot of nasty things.
Oh, okay. I understand your caricature was recently unveiled at Sardi's Restaurant in New York City. That must be quite an honor.
It was really quite an honor. I did this wonderful Broadway show called The Drowsy Chaperone, which was written by Bob Martin. And it's a show that he was the lead in it. Character called Man in Chair, which my mother thought meant that I was I'm not a big part because I didn't have a name, but it was the narrator of the show, and quite a large part that I had to learn in 2 weeks, and then was on Broadway for a few months, and remarkably wonderful experience. And being honored in Sardi's with a portrait is one of those things that a lot of Broadway people dream of, and here I was. It's probably quite unfair, but it was an honor, and the cast of The Drowsy Chaperone, some of the most talented people on Broadway, paid tribute to me, which was crazy, because here's, you know, it was my first Broadway show. I did an off-Broadway show 3 years ago called Privilege,
written
by Paul Weitz, which was also a remarkable experience. But the Sardi's thing was, and the whole experience was something I would love to be part of again as soon as the right project presents itself, and they'll have me. It was just a complete honor.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Do you have a few minutes for a couple of questions from our visitors?
Of course.
Okay, the first one comes from Angela Galago. She's from Detroit. And she wants to know, out of all of the characters that you played, which represents you the best?
I think I've yet to play the character that represents me the best. I can't even, a lot of the things I've done in the past 5 years have been nothing like me. I definitely am. I'm only like Danny Tanner when I break a glass and have the dust busted, so my daughters don't get glass in their feet. So I would say I've yet to come upon. Well, I don't know. I did a cameo of myself on Entourage, but if that's how I live during the day, they probably have to arrest me. So I think it's yet to be unveiled, which I'm excited about doing. I'm developing some other shows, perhaps definitely a scripted piece where I'll be, I think, more like my own true character or whatever that is. So maybe my stand-up is the most hyped-up version of me, minus the profanity, because I don't walk around like that, because, I'd be arrested.
Oh,
okay. Thank you for her question.
Yes, I'll tell her that. And the next one is from Tearing Limb. He's from Warren, Michigan. What's your most embarrassing moment in your acting career, he asked.
Most embarrassing moment would probably be on Full House. I was in a Dino the Dinosaur outfit. It was a purple outfit, I think, or green. I can't remember because I'm trying to block it still. And I guess the most embarrassing moment was my kids. When I did the show, two of my children weren't even born yet, and I walked into one of my daughter's bedrooms a couple of years ago, and it was on Nick at Night, and she said, "Daddy, look, you're in a dinosaur outfit on Full House," and I literally felt like Barney had fallen down a flight of stairs. I was damaged from it, and it was cute, but I literally don't remember doing it.
Yeah, that would have been cool to see.
That's pretty embarrassing.
Okay, the next one is from Nicole Vowell from Livonia, Michigan. She wants to know, do you still keep in touch with the legendary Full House cast?
Absolutely. In fact, when I was on Broadway a couple months ago, everybody came. You know, Jody Sweetin was there, and Ashley and Mary Kate came to the show a couple times. Ashley came, and Stamos went to it like three times because he's completely theater fruity for me. And Dave was going to, and so was Candace, and so was Scott Weiner, and so was Andrew Barber. But the show, because of the theater strike, took a bit of a hit, and then we ended up on Broadway closing. But it's at the end of December, and then it lives on because it's very successfully touring on the road. But yes, look how I go right into promo. I can't help myself. I've been doing a lot of interviews. My deep apologies for my riffing. Incessantly, but we completely see each other to the point where this Saturday we'll be doing a thing with John and Dave. And we'll be singing Beach Boys songs kind of for charity.
Very cool. That sounds like a lot of fun.
I think it will be, and it's for a wonderful cause of John's, as I said, Project Cuddle, which is a great thing to help children find home placement. So we truly love each other and stay in contact quite a bit.
Okay, and the last one is from Carlos Hall from Westland, Michigan. He says, how often do you come to Metro Detroit, and what do you think about it?
I love Detroit, and I spent a great deal of time there over the years. I used to work Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle all the time.
Okay.
In every incarnation it ever had. Since I was about 22 years old, I would come into Detroit, and it was one of my, my dad was actually from there. It was one of my home places, and I used to always, a couple times a year, go into town. And that's why, it means a lot to me to come in and do the Michigan Theater, because the last time I went into Detroit, it was just a great experience. And I know Dearborn's really nice, and I haven't really spent a lot of time there, so I'm excited.
Yeah, we wish you the best of luck. Have a great time, and we hope it sells out for you.
Thank you so much. It was nice talking to you. Thanks for all of your tolerating my very long paragraph.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks, man. Take care.
Copyright 2008 America, JR.com, Detroit, Michigan, USA.